Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's difficult for you guys not to jump when he hard counts, even though you probably know it's coming.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He could tell you in the huddle it's on three, and you get to the line, and his voice just sells it so much, you'd be convinced it's on one.
Today's guests, Vikings running back Dalvin Cook, three-time Pro Bowl quarterback Carson Palmer, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, plus from the new film, Honest Thief, actor Jai Courtney. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, right here on Peacock, right here on Sirius XM, right here on your terrestrial radio dial. We also say a very good morning to our terrestrial radio listeners in Southern California on the Mightier 1090.
Of course.
We had hoped for a better result of the San Diego Padres for your sake, but the Los Angeles Dodgers came out in game one of that National League Division Series and took that. And then we had a whole bunch of other playoff battles that went down yesterday. Your Houston Astros, Chris Brockman, your Houston Astros looking pretty good. Tampa Bay Rays notched things up with the Yankees. Your Atlanta Braves. Okay, very good. We touched upon baseball, and we'll hit on it again. I do have a couple of cents on the red-hot Yankee subject of the way that the organization approached Game 2 and how they handled their starting pitching. Our friend,
I'm really interested in this because that was weird.
Uh-huh, it was, and I'll tell you why it was weird. I'll tell you why it was weird. That's later on.
Okay.
Good to see you, though, Chris Brockman.
How's it going,
Mike
buddy?
Del Tufo, good to see you. Good to see you, Rich. T.J. Jefferson, settled into your chair over there.
Kaboom.
We're very excited about our guest list today, as always. Dalvin Cook's first up.
All right.
And he's first in a ton of categories in the National Football League at the running back spot. First downs, rushing touchdowns. Our friends at Pro Football Focus have come up with a lot of metrics as to why he's number one. And the number one is the only number in their win column, but it's better than the zero. So Dalvin Cook will be joining us here on this program. Carson Palmer is going to be joining us. He's on tonight's episode of The Grind, NFL The Grind on Epix that I'm hosting at 9 Eastern time on Epix. Carson wasn't the correspondent. The correspondent paid Carson a visit. The correspondent was Chad Ochocinco, paid Carson a visit in his home in Idaho.
Sweet.
Where they watched the Bengals beat the Jaguars together and then zoomed with the current 9-85, Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. And there's lots to talk about with Carson, not just about Joe Burrow, but there is some, as we know, quarterback news in the NFL today and developing. The today being Dwayne Haskins getting not just benched, but buried all the way down to number three on the depth chart for the Washington football team, which is turning to Kyle Allen. And Alex Smith, who damn near lost his leg, is now one snap away from being the quarterback of Washington again. And they take on the Rams this week. So Ron Rivera having enough of Dwayne Haskins, and it's going to take a lot for Dwayne to get back on the football field. That's why I guess Josh Rosen is trending this morning on Twitter, as everyone's saying, okay, here's another guy who really didn't get much of a shot. Although Haskins, I guess you could say, had last half of last season, even though it was with a coaching staff that he knew wasn't going to coach him this year. And then this year he got all of one quarter of a season, and that's the end of that. How fair is that? Carson sat, right? That was back in the day when you were drafted first overall and then you sat.
That's right.
Yep. And he sat behind John Kitna in Cincinnati.
I believe so, yeah.
So, again, Carson will also ask him about another USC quarterback whose chances in the NFL appear to potentially be dwindling, and Sam Darnold, who's not playing this week due to injury. And the reason why I say he appears to be dwindling, because if the Jets wind up being first overall, it looks like Sam's going to have to find a different spot. But there's so much football between now and then we're wondering how much football can be played between now and then as COVID-19 is rearing its ugly head again in the National Football League. Stephon Gilmore, the defensive player of the year, the reigning defensive player of the year, tested positive for coronavirus today in New England. And as we all know, he and the rest of the Patriots had their vectors crossed with the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night. Our friend Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk posting a photograph on the Pro Football Talk website today that says it all. Gilmore going right up into Patrick Mahomes' face at the end of the game, you know, where pleasantries get exchanged. And, you know, the NFL wants all players to just get the hell off the field as soon as the game's over. But then you can also say, well, it was 3.5 straight hours of Gilmore being on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And if he ever blitzed from the corner position, which is not really what he does, he probably was trying to lock down whoever was out there on his side of the field. You know.
He played 100% of the snaps.
He's right there in the grill of everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the question we have. Because, again, the Tennessee Titans, two straight days of negative tests for everybody. A couple more players tested positive today. And so now the question is did the Titans do anything they were not supposed to do after the facility got closed, after the initial outbreak? Because they've been out of the building since September 29th, and now here we are on October 7th, and a couple of players test positive, unless, again, as we're all becoming, best we can, experts on this, on how to, you know, conduct ourselves in our daily lives and stay healthy. You know, you're reading about how President Trump right now, now that he has contracted the virus, his difficult days might be ahead of him. And also how people present after testing negative, 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 and then they're positive. How long the virus stays in your system, and does that mean you are contagious when you're testing negative? I don't know. I honestly do not know the answer. All I know is this, is that the NFL is clearly now in a situation of taking it one game at a time, one week at a time, and there's time on the back end. I mean, I haven't really spoken to anybody about this, but it's time on the back end. And by back end, I don't just mean the regular season. I mean, you know, it's not as if Raymond James Stadium is going to be occupied for a concert or this or that or this game or that game. It's just, you know, Super Bowl has to happen in March or April. That's when the Super Bowl is going to happen. Yeah. And then the combine has to happen. Whenever it happens, that's when it's going to have to happen. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But Dalvin Cook, Carson Palmer on the show, Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football on the show as well, and Jai Courtney, an Aussie actor who is in the new film Honest Thief. You might also best know him as Captain Boomerang from the Suicide Squad film. And also Chris Brockman's favorite film from the Die Hard series as well, A Good Day to Die Hard. That's Die Hard 4, correct?
Number 4.
Okay, he played Jack McClane, John's son.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Do I dare ask him if Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good. We always go down that wormhole. Jake Tapper's a little too busy probably right now
Jake
in the
Tapper's
news world
got other things
to join
mind.
Us with less than 4 weeks to go from Election Day. Jake is usually my foil on that.
But. Got other stuff going on.
Okay. Very good. So, and again, like I said, the NFL is just going to take it one game, one week at a time, and it doesn't matter in my mind when Roger Goodell hands the Lombardi Trophy to somebody. It doesn't matter, because it sure appears that on Friday, what would that be, October 10th, right? This Friday's October 10th?
Saturday's 10th.
Okay, so this Friday, October 9th, 2020. It seems like Friday, October 9th, 2020 is when the Larry Francis O'Brien Trophy will be pressed into the warm hands of LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
From now on, it's all about the Larry O.B.
Looks like that's going to happen Friday. And if you told Adam Silver, hey, October 9th, 2020 is when you hand out that trophy, and if you told him that in June, okay, I'll sign for that. You told him that the minute that Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus in Oklahoma City and they had to clear out the arena, that he would have signed for that. Again, I'm just pointing out what's going on in the NBA. The NHL handed out the Stanley Cup. They got it done. And it looks like the NBA is about to get it done. Now, they bubbled up.
Big time.
Major League Baseball, you could say what you will about their regular season. It does look like that piece of metal will be handed out later on this this month. And again, we'll see what happens with the beautiful Lombardi Trophy. But it sure does look like the NBA Finals is a final. I mean, it was an amazing Game 3 from Jimmy Butler. He could not come up with a 40-point triple-double. Again, he almost came up with a 22-point triple-double. Bam Adebayo did, in fact, play. And this was, in fact, a game into the fourth quarter. But too much LeBron, man. And too much Anthony Davis. And then essentially too much Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Too much KCP.
KCP.
And this is
unreal.
And so it was too much of all three of them. And Rondo would come up with his occasional defensive play. And as Van Gundy pointed out, he has a nose for the basketball. Caruso would make a play here. Kuzma made a few threes there. Defensively, they were just shutting people down. If LeBron's not saying it's winning time, I'm taking Jimmy Butler, then Anthony Davis comes up with a huge block of Butler towards the end of the game. And then Rondo will shut somebody down. And then they'll force Duncan Robinson to have to bank one home to keep the game alive. And that's the way the Lakers play on defense and then crush you in their transition game. That's the Lakers that we saw in Game 4 last night. And there was one moment that we saw LeBron James after, I think, Anthony Davis made a back-breaking three to make it a three-possession game with just a handful of minutes left, of LeBron just scream, a primal, if you will, scream from LeBron, where he sensed the moment was arriving. He sensed the moment was arriving. And the moment, in my mind, is this. We all had our fun, and we all knew it was coming. The minute Anthony Davis told the New Orleans Pelicans he wanted out. The minute Clutch Sports, his LeBron's agency, decided to get Anthony Davis as a client and vice versa. And interestingly enough, the third man from last night's contest, who's also a Clutch Sports client.
KCP.
Correct. And LeBron essentially was accused. That's the only way of calling it, because that's what LeBron is always in those lanes, being accused of messing with the general order of things with the New Orleans Pelicans. Remember, there was even a trade possibility that got scuttled, right? And what, it got leaked and it made a mess of things in the locker room for the Lakers, leading to the whole dumpster fire where the Lakers didn't even make the playoffs in LeBron's first year, and Magic Johnson this and Magic Johnson that. And it was a mess, an absolute total mess. But not so much a mess now, is it?
I mean, the ends justify the means?
No doubt about it, to number 23.
Oh, yeah. How's New Orleans doing?
We'll see in a couple years.
The dude quit on his team so he could force a trade to the Lakers.
I'm telling you, the way things are right now in that bubble, as we are one game away, that's what I thought when I saw LeBron celebrating. Tough, you know what, as they used to say in Camp Lokonda and Trails End Camp to me, you know, tough. Noogies, I guess, is the only way that I was said to me. Really, it's just, it's the way of the world in the NBA. You get your way. And I don't even care if it was hatched when LeBron sent out that press release in the middle of the summer 2 years ago, that he was leaving Cleveland and coming to the Los Angeles Lakers. Maybe it was hatched then. Okay, here's what we're going to do. But it's kind of worked out, and he's one game away, and the Heat do not look equipped to rip off a Nuggets-like three-game win streak to come back from this 3-1 hole.
Nope.
too much LeBron, too much Anthony Davis. And then last night, too much clutch, if you will, with a K, shooting by KCP. LeBron, the plan, as they say, is coming together. And anybody else who's crying a river, beat it. Beat it. Because that was the idea. He wasn't going to leave Cleveland, come to Los Angeles Lakers without a plan. And it sure didn't look like they had a plan in year one. But he sat down, LeBron, with Rich Paul and whomever, and said, let's figure this out. Anthony Davis winds up with the Lakers. He handpicks a few other people. Mm-hmm. Kuzma's the one who stays.
That's right. That's right.
But there are some other guys, Morris and Danny Green. I mean, you have to give credit
where it is due to
Michigan man Rob Pelinka. Yeah,
with playoff pedigree.
They brought in the right people. And Frank Vogel, when it's just like, well, LeBron's not going to pay attention to him. It's really Jason Kidd's team.
Right.
That didn't materialize either. Yeah. One win away in the bubble.
Rondo's been awesome this playoff, too. Kudos to him.
Right. Playoff Rondo.
I'm just excited. Well, I'm excited. I'm kind of bummed. We're not going to be able to get the shirtless J.R. Smith parade tour that we got last time.
You know J.R. Smith's going to do something with his shirt off. It might not be a parade where everyone can attend,
well, you know,
but
he's
going to do something.
They do have parades in Disney World all the time. And once the bubble's over, maybe, you know, he can be part of that actual parade.
He doesn't even play in the game sometimes.
It doesn't matter.
As immediately as when it's over, he rips his shirt off walking back to the locker room.
I mean, he's like the ML Carr of the 21st century now. Just he's just not waving a towel. He's just taking his shirt off.
Hey, Rich, you remember Jeannie Buss was here before last season started?
I do.
I was doing a green room interview with her.
There's a lot to talk about with her.
She told me the key free agent signing that year was JaVale McGee. I'm just saying. That's who.
Well, I mean, he has been, and as you know, McGee, no, I mean, McGee has a role to play on this team, and he did last year. Look, man, she also came here and said, Kobe, may he rest in peace, told her to be Khaleesi. Remember that? He told her, you need to be the Khaleesi and just burn it. Burn it if it needs to be burned. And we were all, like, thinking, okay, well, the Dracarys burning lit up on a dumpster.
Valor Margolis.
And I'm telling you, here we are a few months later, a year plus later. It's the Lakers' world. And we're all paying rent, and it's LeBron's world, and you have to pay homage. That guy is amazing.
I'm about to turn my phone service off when this happens.
Well, it's interesting. Somebody did at you on Twitter. We'll hit that later on. I've heard of him. And apparently, again, you being the Forrest Gump of the Rich Eisen show have met everybody and know everybody and they know you. Trolling at you and your Clipper fandom today. Rude. Even though you did a great job by sending out that tweet today of people to send their GIF to the Rich Eisen show describing their team's status four games into the season. Well done.
But
it did earn you a troll job. So we've got four guests. I want to be on time for Dalvin Cook of the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll take our first break here on this busy Wednesday show. One of the best running backs in the National Football League, Dalvin Cook of the Minnesota Vikings, will be joining us next in your phone calls at 844-204-RICH.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game
every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Back here on Peacock, Sirius XM, we're going to take 60 seconds and wait for our terrestrial radio audience to return in a second. That's how we roll here on our program. Do you have our poll question? Do you have one already cooked up? Do you have
I've got three options.
All right, so let's workshop it while okay. And then Dalvin Cook will join us for the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, so today in 1983 was the seventh and final Sean Connery James Bond release.
Okay.
So we can go best Bond.
Which was that?
That was Never Say Never Again.
Hmm. Okay.
But it was the final one for Sean Connery.
Okay.
We could go, Smitch had a good one. Which athlete would make the best Bond henchman? Conor McGregor, yes. Boban, Zlatan, and Marshawn Lynch. Those are good. And then in honor of the great Eddie Van Halen, RIP, passing away yesterday.
Yes.
Who do you prefer as your Van Halen front man? Diamond Dave, Sammy Hagar.
I would like to go with which sports... It's a big anniversary of the Bond filmography,
yeah.
Right? And let's go with the athlete one.
All right, let's do it.
It crosses the pop culture and sports streams that we like to do.
You
here.
Good with these choices?
I love it. Well, we can open it up to people too. Very good. Ed Belichick says Don Bowie, the Saints.
Conor McGregor, Boban, Zlatan, and Marshawn Lynch.
I like it all. Okay. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show for those of our terrestrial radio listeners. For those listening on Mightier 1090 in Southern California, I appreciate the hospitality of my favorite baseball team in San Diego. Didn't like the game last night, the results, and wait till you hear my if you will take, Chris. You're going to love it.
I'm excited because that was
Yankees.
Really weird.
We'll talk about it. I'm going to get to it. I will get to it.
I saw Big Nick Turturro's video about it.
Did Nick take his shirt off?
It was not on.
Nice. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, but I'm going to take the phone call of one of the best running backs in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, Pro Football Focus, I saw their tweet. This gentleman leads the NFL in all running backs for first down rushes, 25. Rushing touchdowns, 6. 21 missed tackles forced by him. And 269 yards after contact yards. Those are leading the National Football League of the Minnesota Vikings. Fresh off of his 2-touchdown, 130-yard performance. Fresh off of his 181-yard performance. He's Dalvin Cook. How are you, Dalvin?
How you doing, Rich?
Better for talking to you, Dalvin Cook. Better for talking to you. To what do you owe the last couple of weeks? You've gotten in the end zone in previous weeks, but you've really kicked it up a notch in terms of the rushing yards. To what do you owe this, Dalvin?
It's all credit to the O-line receivers, you know, getting this thing done. And, you know, our season hasn't started how we wanted it to start, but, you know, we just kept chipping away and guys just been working. And been getting some yards out there for me. And I've just been in attack mode, you know, trying to get a win and get this thing rolling for us. And the coach has been doing a great job of staying on us.
Well, in terms of the offense, do you feel like a switch has been flipped that we didn't see, say, in Indianapolis or in week one against Green Bay? Would you say that, Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, it was just really about the time of possession, and Coach Zim gave us a heads up before this thing even started. You know, it was going to be about time of possession in all these games. And the first couple of games, we got behind so fast to where we had to throw the ball pretty much the whole game. And, you know, that's not us. You know, that's not staying in rhythm and staying on schedule. And, you know, that's when we got out of whack. And I think these last couple of games, we've been able to grind it out and, you know, keep Kurt in some manageable situations so he can make some throws and that's how we be successful.
Well, in terms of, you know, running the ball more, as you mentioned, that Mike Zimmer stresses it. Is that something that was told to you, say, before week three in Tennessee? I mean, or did you just get in the huddle and go, okay, that's another one for me? I mean, how does that work, Dalvin?
Yeah, it's kind of going with the flow, you know. But we all know, you know, Coach Zimmer want to play good defense, you know, run the football and manage that clock, you know, limit the other team possession. So we knew what was going on. We knew we wasn't getting as many possessions, so we knew we had to run the football to keep teams honest more. And I think we've been doing a great job these last few weeks.
And being 0-3, what was the conversation amongst you and your teammates, 0-3, heading onto that field against an equally 0-3 and desperate team in Houston?
Yeah, it was a reality check. You know, everybody, you know, look each other in the mirror and hold your brother responsible. And, you know, I like about this team because, you know, we could have easily said we 0-3. You know, things not going our way. We're going to hang our heads. But I seen this team come back to work, you know, after a tough loss. We played Tennessee and just do nothing but accept the coaching and just go out there and work. And, you know, we got the results that we needed.
Well, I mean, when you say results, it's not just results that you needed on the field and results that you needed in terms of a stat sheet. It's also results that you needed in the coronavirus. The fact that Tennessee starts testing positive and then there's an outbreak and your vectors cross with theirs on the field. What was your first thought when you heard about Tennessee starting to test positive with alarming numbers, Dalvin?
Yeah, it was scary. You know, I definitely don't take this thing lightly. I take it as serious as I can. You know, I try to be as safe as I can. And, you know, I pray for those guys that, you know, that got it. And, you know, it was scary for us because, you know, we was out there banging with those guys, you know, sweating with those guys. And you never know how this thing can get in your body. So we was always, you know, alert of the coronavirus, but, you know, playing a team that contracted so many viruses was scary for us.
Well, and again, I'm being tested every couple of weeks, and I get the test results back on my cell phone in an email, and it takes about a second and a half before the avatar or photograph that says that you're either positive or negative to pop up. And I just look at that thing, and it's a very long second. I'm not going to lie to you. And all I've got to do is just a broadcast, you know, not play a football game and get ready for a football game. I mean, the uncertainty, how did that play on your team as you were getting ready for the Texans, Dalvin?
Last week overall was crazy because we had to go different protocols and we had to take the two tests, the test we had to wait for to go inside the building each morning, and then we had to take the test for our daily test. So, you know, just waiting for that test to get your results back, kind of anxious, you know, you nervous. It's just the whole thing is a new normal for us, and we're still adapting even though it's week five. So, you know, waiting for those results and just, you know, just being in that environment, you know, it's different for us.
And again, I ask this question of you. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl caliber player. You're as big a name out there in the NFL today, Dalvin. And, you know, so I'll ask this question of you, and I would ask it of any player I have on, but your opinion is considerable here. Because fans are asking me when they hear against Stephon Gilmore tests positive today in New England. We're seeing more tests coming back positive from Tennessee after a couple days of negative. And some fans are saying, would the NFL just stop? Like, just stop for a week or two to get everything settled and get everybody negative again and start again? Because we saw three straight weeks after a training period where everyone was negative. How would you respond to that in Minnesota as a player in the NFL? If somebody just came to you and said, hey, I know you're all negative, and I know you just got through that week, and I know you just got a win, but we're stopping for a couple of weeks. How would you respond to that, Dalvin?
I'm with whatever, you know, to keep everybody safe, and that's the main thing. You know, before the season started, you know, I know the league and the NFLPA was kind of bumping heads because, you know, they had to come agreements on the protocol. But, you know, I'm with whatever, you know, the league comes up with to keep everybody safe, because that's what it comes to at the end of the day. Because, you know, you had guys opt out to keep themselves safe, and you had guys that, you know, stayed into this thing to play, you know, to say, you know, I'm accepting the league protocol And, you know, I definitely believe it's going to keep me safe. So, you know, whatever protocol that they have set up for us moving forward, you know, I'm all for it if it's going to keep us safe.
And just Dalvin Cook here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then, again, just your journey in general. You struck it. You finally got that long-term contract after, again, you know, a journey from Florida State. You weren't drafted as high as your talent deserved. And now here you are, a top running back in the National Football League, not just in terms of statistics, but in terms of your contract. What was that moment like for you to get that $60+ million deal placed in front of you for your John Hancock, Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, some days I wake up and, you know, it still feel like a dream that I'm living in. And, you know, like you said, my journey, you know, it has been, had some bumps in the road, you know, injury here. Like you said, the draft process, you know, everything that came with it, you know, I just wanted to work. After all those things, I just wanted to go back to on the field and just work as hard as I can. And, you know, if anybody listening to this, you know, I just put the hard work in. Don't worry about the end of outcome. You know, just put your head down. You know, every day, you know, it's gonna be some tough days. Just go to work, and you know, you ain't gonna get the outcome you want some days, but you know, you keep working. You know, things will fall through for you.
And in terms of, again, we're living crazy times, Dalvin, obviously, and your contract, you get it on or signing it, or it's official on a Saturday. You got to play the Packers to kick off week one in a pandemic on a Sunday. That said, did you buy anything? Did you get anything for anybody to celebrate, or somebody that's important to you that deserved something based on their support of you? Anybody in that respect, Dalvin?
Yeah, you know, I got my mom and my dad back home, and you know, I haven't purchased anything yet, you know, because I'm really not a guy big of expense or, you know, expensive guy. You know, I'm a low maintenance person, but you know, I'm definitely going to buy my mom and my dad a new home, you know, once it's time. And you know, that was definitely one of my goals when I was growing up, to always, you know, redirect where my mom and dad was living. So you know, that's still the thing on my agenda.
So that's what you grew up saying, I want to get to the NFL and help my parents and get a better life for them.
Yes, sir.
And now,
yes, sir,
you're going to achieve that. That is so amazing, Dalvin. There's just no other way to put it.
I appreciate it.
Just amazing,
yes, sir.
Dalvin Cook. Amazing. And let's just, in a few minutes I have left, let's give the Vikings fans some hope out there. Dalvin, as you know, the skull chants are just piped in these days. So what can we glean here? I mean, from this W and Cousins finding Thielen with more regularity, the kid from LSU, Justin Jefferson, beginning to flash, you getting the end zone and putting together some rushing yards of triple digits. Is this a turnaround here for the Vikes?
Yeah, Viking fans, you know, all the fans, you know, that tune into the Vikings, you know, this team right here is a different team that they're used to seeing over the years. You know, we got different players, young players. We got guys stepping in different roles. And, you know, it's been a different offseason. So, you know, being patient as they can with us, and, you know, we're going to get this thing turned around. And I think, you know, Sunday was a good example of us gaining confidence for the younger guys, for the whole team. And, you know, moving forward, you know, you got guys, like I said, young guys stepping up, and they know they can make that play, and they seen the play being made, you know. So just be patient with us, man. We're working, and, you know, we're going to get this thing turned around and start winning some more football games for you guys.
Does Kirk hear the media footsteps? Does he? I mean, you ever have these conversations with him offline that I'm asking you now to bring online? Does he hear it?
Yeah, you know, being around Kirk, you know, this is a realistic answer. You know, being around Kirk, you know, I think Kirk does a great job of blocking out the noise. And, you know, I think being at the quarterback position, you know, you can take as much as you can because, you know, that's the position that they held to the highest standard. And, you know, Kirk does a great job of just coming back to work and blocking out the noise. So, you know, I think he definitely hears it, but, you know, no, that's why I love Kirk so much. You know, he blocks the noise out and just go back to work.
Well, this is a big week. Nationally televised game, Sunday Night Football, doesn't get much bigger than that. Do you sense it
when
it leads up to it, and you know that that eyes are on you when you get out there, Dalvin? You know it?
Yeah. You got to kind of keep the emotions in check. You know, you ready to play on a Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, you got to kind of keep the emotions in check. Mm. It's going to be a long week. And, you know, we know this is a big week. You know, we know the team we playing. We've been playing this team for about 3 years now since I've been here. And, you know, we just looking to go out there and play a clean football game and win a game and come back to Minnesota. And you know, that's just not going to take me saying it. That's going to take a hard work of preparation all week and, you know, going out there and getting it done.
Well, not to add any extra pressure, Dalvin Cook, but I think you can handle this information. My son, Xander, 12 years old, you were the first overall selection for him, fourth in his fantasy draft. I'm the commissioner of this league. I see all the trade offers that he receives. The number of trade offers he's received for your services that have been rejected, I've lost count. He loves him some Dalvin Cook. So Zan wanted me to give you a shout-out. The Joey Specials is the name of the team. You don't just play for the Vikings, Dalvin. You play for the Joey Specials as well, okay? Just want to let you know.
Shout-out to the Joey Specials, man. Shout-out to the little man. Yeah, I appreciate it for having me on his team.
You got it. Yeah, Zan loves Dalvin Cook. He does. He also loves Aaron Jones. That's why his fantasy team's better than his dad's, to be very honest with you right now, but it's all good. It's all good. Thanks for the call, Dalvin. And thanks for doing it.
I appreciate you, Rich, all the time.
Always.
All the time.
You got it right back at you. That's Dalvin Cook. That's Dalvin Cook. Another guy whose world we are paying rent in right now. Yeah, he drafted Dalvin Cook fourth overall, came back and got Aaron Jones.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of kids in the old Oakwood Skylamar League.
Don't know what they're doing.
That like they took Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes in the first round. I mean, you're talking about 12 and 11 year old.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I'm thinking of doing this because again, I'm not only the commissioner of this league, which we helped create, so you know, 12 year olds and 11 year olds can communicate with each other and have something that bonds them other than online Zooms and stupid ass video games. And so we put this thing together and I'm on Zan's, I'm a co-owner.
Yeah.
Cause I had to create the league.
Right.
I see all of the trade offers he gets.
Right.
And I let him handle all of it. But the trade offers, I'm thinking of starting a Twitter account called Kids Fantasy Trades or something like that. And I just put them out there. You know, like he received one offer for Dalvin Cook. He would give up Dalvin.
Okay.
He would receive Young Ho Koo.
Straight up?
Straight up. The kicker from the Falcons.
Who's on injured reserve right now.
Who was hurt at the time of the trade.
I mean, what is going on?
Wow.
The 4-for-1s that I get.
Wow.
I would have taken the trade.
Honestly.
Who is Zan's kicker? You know, you got to think about it.
Who is his kicker? McManus, who had an 18-point week last week.
Yeah, come on now.
My son, I never thought my 12-year-old son would look me in the face as he did last night when we went over everything so he could figure out does he want a waiver or not. He said the words to me, Dad, I love Brandon McManus. And I almost started crying on the spot.
On brand.
You know, Coop wants to pick up the Steelers defense that somebody in his league dropped, but you gotta. It's one of those waivers that you spend money on. Like you get a budget for the year, and then there's the Alice in Chains League that we are. Whirlpool of Despair is 1-3 right now.
Yeah, we are Whirlpool.
Well, the problem is this, and I can't stand this, and I will use Rich Eisen's show Real Estate to bitch about it. Because I was, again, a couple Montepulciano's into the night, and Fabiano texts me saying, looks like you need a running back. FYI, to catch everyone up to speed, we drafted Saquon Barkley second overall.
Yeah, we did.
Looks like you need a running back. You interested in trading DK Metcalf? And I looked at who he has. Trade. I looked at who he has. And his running backs are the guest who just hung up and James Robinson of Jacksonville. And I text him back, unless the next word you text me is Dalvin, we're done here.
And what did he say?
He wrote back, that's too rich for his blood. He's not giving up Dalvin Cook. And I'm like, then we are done here. And here's the problem, though. Here's the ultimate problem, is the waiver system in this league is not based on how bad you are in terms of wins and losses, but whether if you picked somebody up during the week, it kicks you to the back of the line. And we picked up the Jets for the Titans defense because the Titans game got postponed. So that kicked us to the back of the line. We had no shot at getting anybody for a third straight week to pick up for Saquon Barkley because he got hurt in the game day, leading us to a waiver wire attempt to fix the problem. You understand? Like, is your waiver wire based
it's
on how bad
way,
you
actually.
Are?
It's no.
I hate that.
No, it's based on if you make a waiver claim that
What's
week,
the,
then you get booted.
Can
to
you
the
explain
back.
To me what the point is of that? What is the point of that?
It's kind of rewarding you for not
for not playing
for not picking up waivers.
Not being but how
for
many,
not using the waiver wire.
How many? I mean, honestly, I understand fantasy football is fantasy and reality is reality. But shouldn't fantasy mimic the actual experience of building a team as best they can? Like, what general manager in the middle of the week is going to be like, no, we're not going to sign that free agent here, you know, because it kicks us to the back of the line. No, you're going to sign people. You're going to go ahead and make moves. And you want your league to be filled with engaged people who are constantly making maneuvers, right? Not penalize them for making a maneuver when it comes time to react to the ultimate, which is a game day injury. It's absurd. It makes no sense. So the year that we won, then we'll take a break and then we'll come back. The year that we won, we had no injuries in this league.
We were blessed.
We were blessed.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, we've been ravaged and we can't get anybody.
Yeah. I like no waivers at all, to be honest. Just everyone's a free agent. That's how I like it.
I don't know. I think it's just kind of fair. It's like the NFL draft. It's fair. You stink, you get the first shot. You're good.
You wait.
Good luck. Tu salud. Right? While I'm bitching and pissing and moaning, when we come back, my 2 cents on the Yankees' approach to game 2 against the Tampa Bay Rays. That was something. That's next on NBC Sports on Peacock and the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Hey, if you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time for you to upgrade. And it's time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time for you to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Again, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. That's netsuite.com/rich. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. Bet online, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
back here on Peacock, and once we get our biggest audience all back together, maybe we should unveil the poll question to everybody about Bond villain. I do like it. I don't think we're missing anybody.
Bond henchman.
Henchman.
Oh, henchman, because there's a Bond villain and then there's the henchman.
Exactly. Like,
Jaws, like there's Goldfinger and then there's Oddjob.
Like Jaws was the exact.
Bond henchman.
Henchman. Because
there's villain, you'd throw like Belichick in there.
Yeah, Jaws was the henchman. He wasn't
Jaws
the villain.
Was the henchman. Exactly.
Who was the villain in Live and Let Die? It was there was another. It was a bigger villain, and Jaws was his henchman.
Jaws was in more than one.
I know that. The actor, by the way, and again, this is I'm
looking right at him.
I am afflicted. I know the actor's name off the top of my head.
So do I.
What's his name?
I'm looking. I'm like you.
Richard Kiel.
That's it.
Yafet Kota was in fact. Yeah, that's right. Alonzo Mosley, FBI, was in fact the Bond villain.
The only way that died, Jane Seymour.
By the way, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. Ask the poll question, Chris Brockman, that we were just batting around on our Peacock feed. What do you have over
there? Okay, so it's the anniversary of the final Sean Connery James Bond. So
which was Never Say Never Again.
Never Say Never Again. With, the seventh one.
A Bond woman that actually was in a movie before who came back and played. What's the woman's name? And I got to think about it. She was in two of them.
We just went down Del Tufo wormhole there.
But it's, no, she was in two of them.
Okay, great.
She came back
with them. Great. So which athlete would make the best?
Thanks, Brock.
Would make the best James Bond henchman? Athlete make the best James Bond henchman? Conor McGregor, Boban, Zlatan, Marshawn Lynch.
Fantastic.
At Rich Eisen Show, vote right now. Or give us a call.
Fantastic. I love it. Now, Belichick would be the Bond villain, right?
Belichick would be a villain, not
the henchman.
Right.
So who'd be the henchman? Gronk would be the henchman.
Gronk would be the henchman.
He would have been the henchman. Exactly. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's fun.
Kyle Brandt, I'm sure, will have a field day with that when he joins us in hour number two. Carson Palmer is going to join us at the top of the next hour as well. Let's take a phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fitz in Dallas joining us here on the program. What's up, Fitz?
Hey now.
What's up, Hank Kingsley?
Peace and love, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Mr. Eisen, you already addressed my question with Mr. Cook a minute ago, but I wanted to get your thoughts on possible week's pause to get things under control in the NFL. This morning on the DP show, DP was talking about possibly handing out forfeitures. But I think that owners might be yelling and screaming about who gets the W in this scenario.
Well, no. The forfeitures that I'm sure – I didn't hear Dan's show, but I'm assuming Dan is just mentioning – when he mentioned forfeitures, he's mentioning teams that are proven or found to be flouting COVID protocols and doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing and thus – creating an outbreak that causes disruption, not just for their team, but to other teams, and that the league, to prevent players from doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing and breaking protocol, causing an outbreak, is threatening owners and teams and players by saying, okay, if you can't play because you messed up and you broke protocol and you created an outbreak, then you lose. We're not going to reschedule your game. You just lose. And that they are hoping as some sort of a deterrent. Now, in terms of just stopping play, you know, honestly, like I said, if we start seeing Kansas City Chiefs test positive because Stephon Gilmore was shedding the virus as a COVID negative tested player on Monday, and then we find out that the Chiefs now have an issue as they get set for their game, Kansas City's next up against Las Vegas. And if we find out that Vegas starts testing positive because maybe something happened in their game against the Buffalo Bills, or they find out, they contact Trace and find out the players that showed up at Darren Waller's fundraiser had something to do with it. And then all of a sudden, now you've got a third of the league having a problem. Maybe you do hit the pause button, Fitz. Maybe you do that because there's a lot of real estate in 2021 to play with. And I, you know what I'm saying? And it makes no sense to have a huge issue where you got to shut things down for a full month and then come back. But if you just shut things down for another week, but then again, I don't know if I'm overreacting. It looked pretty brutal on Saturday. And then they were playing games, and then we did see the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs continue to test negative and the Patriots don't have much more of an outbreak, I don't know what the answer is. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I do know that there's real estate in 2021 to play with.
Yeah. And one last thing, if I can go high register.
Yes, Fitz.
Hey, hang in there, TJ. Our Cowboys are going to make a comeback.
There we go. Very good. Fitz going higher register, well done, which we always appreciate.
We'll clip that one.
I already got my higher register for Friday.
Already?
It's already done. It's written in my book here, so don't forget.
That makes it official.
All set. Okay, then. So, yesterday, we're on the show, and we showed the starting pitchers for the quartet of games for Major League Baseball playoffs yesterday. And I saw, you know, again, I'm trying to stay on top of my favorite team, the Yankees, but I saw it wasn't Tanaka starting for the Yankees.
Right.
It was Davey Garcia, this 21-year-old pitcher who's got major upside.
Stuff, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's got stuff.
Yeah, he's got stuff.
And I thought, okay, we're gonna see how this kid works, and we'll roll the dice, and you're up one game to nothing, and we'll see if you can catch fire here, because the Yankees have a lush history of finding arms and riding them and maybe getting a nice magical ride in the postseason. We've seen it before. We've seen it in many other teams. Yankees, it's not just specific to the Yankees, but we'll see what happens. No, this kid comes out. He gives up a home run to Arozarena, by the way, who is amazing. And who, whenever he's up, I don't mean to put this song in your head, but whenever I see him, I sing his name to the tune of All for Lena by Billy Joel.
Great song.
It's a me problem, not a you problem.
Okay.
Okay.
That's going to be stuck now.
Arozarena. Okay, so he... gives him a home run, and then out comes J-Hap. And then I'm beginning to realize, dawning on me, that I know, and Aaron Boone is getting lit up for this, but this is an organizational decision. We all know everybody gets together with their slide rules and protractors and says, this is what the numbers say, that this kid can come out and do inning one, and Hap's been so terrific in his last few starts that you get through a couple times in the order, and then they do this, and now they're lefty-lefty, and we have the advantage, and we can get through it by having an opener. Not a starter, an opener.
Right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this just doesn't feel right. And Hap gives up this, and then he gives up that homer, and now suddenly 5-1, and then the Yankees wind up losing because they could not get more home runs from Giancarlo Stanton, who's leaving dents in San Diego.
That second one was so far.
It left in a hurry, as they say.
So far.
So Yanks lose, and we have no idea if this kid, Davey Garcia, could be a money pitcher in the postseason like I thought we were going to do, because that's what the Yankees do. Certainly when you got a little bit of house money in your pocket with a game one in your pocket, not doing this metrics-driven opener stuff with J-Hap, and now we could bring this kid back here, and maybe we'll do it again in game four, and we're thinking our way around by metrics. And the thing that really rankles me, not the fact that it didn't work out, you're going to love this, Chris.
Yes.
It's anti-Yankee.
Oh.
Yankees don't do this. Yankees don't do openers. Openers are for people with $70 million payrolls. Openers are for people who haven't been there before. We're going to try and work our way through it. Openers are not for teams that think they can beat the Dodgers, whose opener in game two is Clayton Kershaw. No, the Yankees start phenoms and catch fire. The Yankees spend a gajillion dollars to take your best pitcher and make them their number two starter in the playoffs. They don't do openers. Openers are for suckers, not the Yankees.
Yeah, this is great.
That's what I'm sitting there thinking. Why is this not sitting well with me? Is it the score? Is it J-Hap? No. It's that the Yankees are doing anti-Yankee stuff.
That's what the Rays do.
That's what the Rays do. And it's fine for the Rays. It's funny for the Rays because they're out there with a tin cup asking Dick Vitale for money so they could afford players. Not the Yankees. Yankees don't do openers. What the hell's going on? Start Tanaka in game two.
That made me feel good.
Or you start this kid and see what you got. Maybe you catch fire, and maybe he's your next money pitcher that you get for Gerrit. Gerrit Cole is what the Yankees do. You spend an absurd amount of money because you got a stopper and you got your guy and you got your horse. And starter number two is the stopper and the horse from another team you spend $200 million on to get. Or it's some kid from the farm that you catch fire with. Yankees don't do openers. Cashman should know better than that. The hell was that? Thank God for this show. Otherwise, they'd be like Nick DeTuro.
taking my shirt off
and doing selfie videos, screaming like a banshee on Twitter about it. I'm glad get to keep my sweater on and sit in this chair and get it off my chest. I
mean, Nick's out of his mind.
Big Nick DeTuro is either out there watching or he's going to see this on Twitter and he's going to be like, damn straight.
Yeah.
Not a damn debate, guys.
Coffee is for closers. Openers are for suckers. And the Yankees don't do that. They don't do the steak knives.
Who's pitching for you guys tonight?
It's Tanaka. The hell was that?
We get the car. We want the car.
Right.
No. The Yankees have the Glengarry leads. Okay?
And we didn't steal them.
And you don't get them.
Like Boston did.
Sorry. What the hell was that?
I mean, Stanton's going to have to get 3 home runs tonight.
I told you today you'd love my Yankee take.
That's a shame.
I know. Right? Enjoy from your Red Sox chair, sir. This has been a lot of fun. Carson Palmer's going to join us because he hung with Chad Ochocinco in his house in Idaho for NFL The Grind and watched Joe Burrow win for the first time as a Bengals quarterback and then chatted with Joe Burrow afterwards. We'll chat with Carson Palmer and you coming up.